This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreeke today. Still dissecting pieces of the case against Lori Vallow Daybell, because like I said, this stuff ain't ending anytime soon. Going to be extradited, it looks like, back to Arizona to face charges on her fourth husband, Charles Vallow.
Yeah.
So we have another murder trial. And Now we're hearing Maricopa County, also in Arizona, announcing that they are going to pursue charges against her for the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau. So we have more trials coming up, it looks like, in this beyond just Chad's that's on the way. Is this something where, let me ask you from experience, she's already very likely going to be having life in jail in Idaho, and there's no chance she'll ever get out. Will they pursue, is it worth it to pursue another murder case in Arizona to add more charges on top of everything? Is this something where they're going to look at it and go, you know, we're not going to waste our resources because she's already put away for life? Or how does that proceed in something like this, where you just keep getting, you know, verdict after verdict after verdict that all mean the same thing?
I'd imagine it comes down to the families feeling whole, you know, that were affected by it.
Sure.
So I think that's a dialogue between the prosecution and the families, you know, to see what their needs are, you know, weighing out the cost benefit analysis for the families. Because at this point, that's what it's for. You know, we're trying to bring justice for the families. And, if you can ever get restitution for these types of things emotionally, but that's what to me would be the main purpose of it, to see if it can be done. And this is, as we were talking about this, you know, we're talking about what's next for her. Unfortunately, I think she's going to thrive in prison.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I've dealt with people that have been in prison, in the prison system before, and a fantastic, charismatic psychopath in prison can be very effective, because just imagine her, who is a grand manipulator, knows how to act like she needs to act to make people feel like $1 million to be in charge, to get the adulation of others, and with her disconnection with reality, we'll probably never know that, which is good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've known people, not personally known, but I've had cases where, especially on the espionage side, where people that commit espionage tend to edge up on high end psychopathy as well. They actually did decently in prison. I say decently, I mean, how well can anyone be decent? Yeah. But when it comes to taking a system where you have a group of people that are easily manipulated a lot of times, you get a grand manipulator in there, and they can really take advantage. So it's not going to be nearly as, here's the unfortunateness. I think it won't be nearly as uncomfortable for her as she deserves for what she did to her people in her lives, especially her children.
You're honestly one of the first people who've said that you think she's going to do well in prison that I've talked to. A lot of the thinking that I've heard thus far is it's such a high profile case. Everybody knows the case, and the fact of what she did to her own children, that she's going to face jailhouse wrath, if you will, for, you know, being a part of murdering her own kids.
I'm with you 100% on the first couple years, maybe year, but when we're talking a lifetime, I think we saw it here. You know, she has this ability to ingratiate herself with people that she needs.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen. I think after the original, memories are short.
Sure.
In most situations, I think, like, now if she was, now here's the difference. Her ability to thrive in prison is going to be much different than Chad's.
Mm-hmm.
He will have a very miserable time because he's also much more aware, I think, of reality than she is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you because of the children issue, but I don't know. I don't put it past psychopaths. I've seen them do pretty remarkable things.
It's going to be, as long as she can get over that first hurdle, I understand what you're saying. Memories are short. And at the beginning, if she can get through it, if she can survive the first couple of years, mm-hmm. I think you're right. What do you typically see in someone like that? Because she's someone who has always just kind of plugged herself into somebody and then has been a big part of their life and kind of identified as part of that existence until she no longer wanted to. Then she just flip a switch and unplug herself and literally go into somebody else, if you will, and then be a part of that life. Is that what you see? Because Chad's out of the picture. They're not going to be able to communicate or in the way that they had been. Do you see her plugging into somebody else in prison and making, a friend there or some sort of like deep connection where it's, I'm with this person now and I'm just going to be this wonderful person to them, much like the pieces of jewelry we had been talking about.
Right. It's a good question. I'm not quite sure. Here's what's interesting, I think, with her is, and we're talking about those initial reactions, because she's so convinced that she didn't do what she got convicted of doing.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, if they come at her for killing her kids, she's going to be, no, I didn't. They were zombies. We got rid of the dark. I mean, she's going to stick to that storyline. I mean, it'll be really interesting. I have no data on this, obviously, but I see her sticking to that storyline, and with her abilities, if she gets, like you said, if she gets one or two people that kind of are kind of a little delusional themselves,
mm-hmm.
and susceptible and weak-minded and buy into this, because I mean, she got really good at sewing crap, and I don't know. I don't think it's quite as clear cut on how she's going to do with people that have killed kids or taken advantage of kids or, you know, all the pedophiles that get locked up. I think that she's going to be a really different case in there. I think think about this. This case has been different. Yeah. Just like this case has been different. I think her experience inside the prison system is going to be different too.
It's just going to continue to be more and more bizarre. As we're seeing now, I just mentioned the attempted murder charges on Brandon Boudreaux, who's actually asking asking for everyone to give forgiveness and recognize that this was an ill person, and actually coming from it from a very, I'm the stand-up person point of view, which takes a very big person to do so, considering there was an attempt on his life. And then you have the Charles Vallow charges. And you had just mentioned earlier that it's really for the family at this point. Does the state listen to the family on something like this, on the big decision of should we bring these charges, or is the state going to do what it wants to do because of the gravity of the situation?
I think that varies from relationship to relationship and from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. I think all these things are always a balance.
Yeah.
And so I'd imagine that because of the emotion and because of how powerful this was, and also how compelling and horrendous it was, you know, like the text messages and the phone calls that she sent to Charles Vallow's children right after. And that's, again, you want to see what a psychopath looks like, you know, when she just texts the kids, oh, by the way, your father just had a heart attack. What? Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get more details, and she just couldn't even respond because she's so disconnected from it. I think their desire for prosecuting her will, I think, play a big hand in this. I would think that they're going to want her prosecuted again, mm-hmm. For his death. And so, but it does take an immense, like you said, it takes an immense amount of resources. So I think it's going to come down to that.
Be very interesting to watch.
It will be.
And see what happened. I wonder this too. Are we going to see other murder charges besides the other two that just came up over the weekend officially brought against her? I'm wondering about other deaths that have been in and around the circle. One of them I'm very curious about is looking back on her sister that died at a young age.
Why has no one mentioned that? I remember when I first did the research on her, and I was curious, you know, you go back to family histories, and I'm a huge believer in people follow an arc of life, mm-hmm. you know, and death has been an arc in her life since 1998 when her sister mysteriously died of something that's not even listed.
Yeah.
That nothing I could find. You know, that's the first clue.
Yeah, the amount of death that the average person encounters in their life, she far exceeds that number.
She hit it by 30.
Yeah. And it's insane. I mean, when you see that, it's retrospect half the time. And so you start realizing this is very bizarre. And I wonder how far back a lot of her chaos truly goes that we're not even aware of. And how many people that she did scare away. Like we were talking earlier, many did not testify. We never even heard of existing of these former friends from 10, 20 years ago. I wonder how many people that she's had in her life that maybe have been watching this, but were like, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to do anything because I want nothing to do with her again after the damage that she caused in other circles of life as she's moved like a hurricane through it.
Yeah, I imagine that that's a decent number because once someone realizes that someone's just using you as a piece of jewelry, mm-hmm. that's discarded when she no longer needs it, it really just makes you angry and hurt, and you just walk away and never want to deal with it again, and you're wounded. So, and that's the way she's treated everyone in her entire life.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Retired FBI Special Agent Robin Drake, thank you so much. His website, peopleformula.com. If you like our podcast and you want an ad-free experience, you can get one through Apple Podcasts. Go there right now and press subscribe. Get access to all of the podcasts in the True Crime Today family. Hidden Killers in every single case that we follow for you, ad-free. Huge list of them. We're adding new podcasts all the time, and you get access to all of it when you sign up through Apple Podcasts. Get it all commercial-free. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.